Praise the Lord. What a beautiful campus. This morning, the glory of God was resting on this place as a cloud sat on these grounds. Hallelujah. His presence is here. To whom much has been given, much will be required. And to you who dwell on these grounds, much has been given to you. May you take advantage of this precious opportunity that God has given you to prepare you to send you forth from these grounds. It tells us in the book of Revelations that a war broke out in heaven. And praise God, Satan was cast out. He was cast out. But it says that those in heaven were rejoicing. But woe to the inhabitants on the earth, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And Satan, knowing that his time is short, Revelation 12 goes on to say that he began to make war against the woman. And many believe, and I believe this, that this is a description of the nation of Israel. Because as much as Satan hates God, he also hates the apple of God's eye. And he wants to destroy the nation of Israel. But not only that, it says that he has come down and the dragon was enraged against the woman. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. And I believe that is speaking about us. Because we have been grafted in to the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we are offspring of the nation of Israel. So just as Satan is warring against the nation of Israel, there is also an onslaught against us. But God has a plan and a purpose. He has a remnant in the land. But connected to that remnant are the Gentiles, Jew and Gentiles being made one together. Because God wants to make a house of prayer for all nations. So knowing this, that there is a remnant being raised up in the land, Satan knows that his time is short. And I have the great privilege and honor of standing in this prophetic moment in history when God is restoring and raising up a remnant in the land of Israel. And before I begin my presentation, I'd like to, we have queued up here on the projector, the video. I want to show you a video. It's about 6 minutes, and it goes something like this. It starts off describing the nation, the streets of Israel, centering on the work of the house of victory, the raising up and the restoring of a remnant, and how God is raising up future disciples to bring forth the glorious message of Messiah. And then after that, I shall continue. If we could start the tape, please. Satan's time is short. Because he knows that God is doing his covenant work in the land of Israel. God is bringing them from the ends of the earth. And he's sprinkling out pure water to cleanse, to change, to sanctify, to raise up a remnant in the land of Israel. And we know that Satan is against the covenant plans of God. The word of God tells us in the book of the Psalms, in Psalm 83. Man's ways are not God's ways. His thoughts are not the thoughts of God. And it says here that they have taken crafty counsel against your people. They have consulted together against your sheltered ones, and they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel would be remembered no more. This right here is the plan of the enemy. But in the great chapter of the book of Jeremiah, in the chapter where it is recorded about the new covenant, when God says the days will come, behold, I will make a new covenant, which is a very, very important chapter in all of the Bible. It goes on to say this. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for light by night, who distributes the sea and its waves and the roar thereof. His name is the Lord. And if these ordinances depart from me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me. Satan is making war against the woman because he knows that somehow God has a plan and a purpose for the nation of Israel. And if he can disrupt and alter and change the almighty will of God, then he is no longer sovereign. He is no longer the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So therefore, Satan is out to make war against the land of Israel. It says in the scriptures that the sons of Issachar, they had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. This is a place that the friends of God who have a pillow ministry, who are being told and warned of the coming events, will have a wisdom to know what Israel ought to do. Sad to say that the political leadership in Israel today is not having this wisdom and are failing to fulfill God's plan and purpose for the nation. And why is that? It's because faith is lacking in the land of Israel. If we're going to believe in God's plan and purposes, it is going to require a faith to believe what God promised he will accomplish. I am holding here a message that was delivered in 1864. That's about 144 years before the birth of Israel. And maybe some of you will recognize the name, the Reverend Charles Spurgeon. And he was asked to address a group that was the Society for the Propagation of the Gospel amongst the Jewish people. And he proclaimed to them that night that the nation of Israel will one day be restored, that they will be gathered from the ends of the earth and once again become a nation. Now, when I think about that, 144 years before Israel was declared a modern state, this took a great measure of faith. It took a faith to believe that God has a plan for the future. And yet, there are so many events in the Word of God that have not come to pass. There are so many events that have not yet been fulfilled. The question before us today, do we have the same measure of faith? This past May, the nation of Israel celebrated its 60th anniversary. And we can look back and we can say 60 years as a nation. And yet, there are so many more things yet to be fulfilled. Do we believe it? Sad to say that there are many Christian churches, many Christian denominations who have been infiltrated with a doctrine called replacement theology. And it's possible that some here in this room maybe have been influenced by it. Or maybe in our churches back home, there is an indifference to what God has planned for the nation of Israel. Or maybe it's simply a little bit of ignorance on our part. Woe unto us if we do not know the prophetic word of God. For the scriptures tell us this in 2 Peter chapter 1. For we have the prophetic word confirmed, which we will do well to heed unto, because it is a light shining in a dark place. And this morning star, it will arise up in our hearts. And knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is from a private interpretation. For prophecy never came from the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we live in a day and age where our eyes have beheld the prophetic word of God. We have had a taste of what God has done in history. And we need to have the eye of faith to believe that into the future, God can also and will accomplish his plan. And what is God's plan? God's plan is this. In Jeremiah, in that same chapter that I quoted from, it also says this. Hear the word of the Lord, O you nations. God wants to speak this to who? He wants to speak this to the ends of the earth. He's saying, nations, I want you to hear my plan. I, who have scattered Israel, will regather them. I will do it. This is the will and the plan and purposes of God. And for this reason, Satan is waging war. And he has very subtle ways in which to do these things. Because today the nations of the world, not using the word of God as their compass, as their guide, are in a state of confusion. Looking at the political leadership of the world or places like the United Nations, there is total confusion. Everyone is looking for a plan to solve the problems of the Middle East. But they're looking in the natural political arena to solve these problems. And they have come up with a solution. The solution is called a two-state solution. Let's divide the land and there will be peace. But this, once again, is in great opposition to the word of God. We need to turn together to the book of Joel in the third chapter. And this is something you need to put in your notes, highlight it in your Bible. And I will gather all the nations and I will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them. And there I will make an account for them for what they have done to my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have also divided up my land. God gives a solemn warning to the nations of the world that I will bring you into judgment for the dividing up of this land. We know after the death of Yeshua, a generation had not passed by the time the Romans came in, destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, and the Jewish people were scattered to the ends of the earth. And at that time, in several years later, in the year 135, in the midst of the final uprising and the final crushing of the Jewish people, finally the Romans said this, we're going to change the name and we're going to call this land Philistine, the land of the Philistines, which now today became known as Palestine. And since that time, the Jewish people lived in a place which the history books call the diaspora, those who are outside the land. And as God is beginning to gather them, and now this controversy as to what to do, there is going to be a judgment for the way the nations of the world unwilling to submit themselves to the holy and precious word of God, God will bring them into judgment. In Psalm 83, when we read about those who are coming up against the nation of Israel, those who want the name of Israel to no longer be remembered. The Word of God says that one of the groups of people that are gathered together, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites. Today, the Ishmaelites, the descendants of the Ishmaelites are the Muslim people. Islam, the Arab people have come from the tents of Ishmael. And Islam, it is the only world religion that clearly articulates a forceful world conquest, jihad, or holy war, which is against all the infidels, is one of the fundamental beliefs in Islam. And the Quran places the people of the world into two groups, into the house of peace, which is Islam, or into the house of war, which is us, the infidels. And they are causing war to rise up against us. And Islamic militants are very serious about these claims. They are willing to sacrifice their very own lives in order to bring this fulfillment of Scripture. It amazes me that in 9/11, when this terrorist boarded those planes, they allowed the spirit of Islam to take total possession of their minds and body and soul. In some ways, we as Christians, we cannot even totally surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit. But something about the spirit of Islam took hold of these men and caused them to bring destruction and death upon the world because of their fanatical belief in jihad. There is a concept in Islam that anyone who dies for the sake of their gospel, their false gospel, will receive 70 virgins in heaven. For them, heaven is a place of sensuality, a place of promiscuity. But for us who believe in the one true God, it is a place of holy worship. It is a lie to think that we can negotiate with Islam. There is no way that we can sit down with them and work out a comprehensive peace. The word Islam itself means this. It means submission. And this is the global agenda of Islam, to bring the whole world into a place of submission against Allah. And the nation of Israel lives in a neighborhood where they are trying to bring this about. It was a beautiful summer day back in June 2006. In the early morning hours, I was talking with my wife who had gone to work. And we were planning the day. And I said, honey, while you're at work today, I'm going to take my daughters, we're going to take the girls to the pool. We're going to spend the day out. We're going to have lunch. We're going to have some ice cream. And we've got the bathing suits packed up. And we were ready to go. And as I was making final preparations, suddenly I heard very unusual sounds. I never heard them before. And I stopped. And they kept coming. And they were getting louder. And suddenly I realized these were incoming missiles. Suddenly a siren sounded and tears began to fill my eyes. And suddenly my two girls came running into the room and there was screaming in that house. And in the quickness of that moment, I needed to take hold of the power of God and allow the Spirit of God to fulfill a promise that he would guard my heart and my mind with peace. And I took hold of this promise and I ran to my girls and I held on to them. I wiped the tears from their eyes and together we ran out of that house down about 30 or 40 steps behind a back building, down another set of steps into what we call the miklat, which in Israel, in Hebrew, it's the word for bomb shelter. And we entered into that bomb shelter. And just as I was entering into that door, as I looked out on the Mediterranean, incoming missiles were coming in from northern Israel, from Lebanon, just over the border. And rockets were landing into the sea. And praise the Lord, when we entered into the bomb shelter, there were about 10 or 12 students from the House of Victory. Right next to our house is an organization called Operation Mobilization, a missionary organization, about 10 or 15 people. And in that shelter, we began to praise and worship the Lord. I had a revelation that day of Jesus being my strong tower. But this is the reality of the neighborhood that we live in. This is the way that the Israelis live their lives, in constant fear and intimidation, because there is a war that happened in heaven and has come down to the nations. As we were in the bomb shelter and in and out, back into our house, there was quiet, there was sirens, we were back and forth. My wife and I, we had planned a trip earlier, a few months earlier, to come to the United States. And we ended up landing in New York towards the latter part of the war, thinking, well, we're safe, we're in New York City. And here we are in New York, and someone from Times Square Church had given us an apartment, and we were worshiping with the saints in New York, and we came back to our house, and we turned on CNN to find out the latest, what was happening, and the headline news, late breaking news from Israel, heavy bombardment of the city of Haifa, and we looked and we saw a house set aflame, and just down the road a piece was the apartment where my wife's sister lives. Here we are, sitting in New York City. We thought we escaped, and suddenly, the reality of war right before our face on CNN. My point is this: there is no escape, because this is a worldwide event. The nations are entering into a time of shaking, a shaking that we have never seen before. And we need to prepare ourselves. There was a time in the nation of Israel where we at Mount Carmel, we had dedicated a new outreach ministry. We opened up a coffee shop. And there were about 20 or 30 of us gathered there, and we were just rejoicing in the Lord on Mount Carmel. And suddenly one of the pastor's wife had received a telephone call. A very famous restaurant in the city of Haifa was just struck by a suicide bomber. Suddenly this moment of celebration quickly came to an end. As days passed and the news began to, we began to understand the events of what had happened. The restaurant by the coastal city of Haifa, a place called Maxine. I have a wife who, her great-great-great-grandmother was born in what was then Palestine. I have roots in the land of Israel that go back hundreds of years in my wife's family. They have cousins by the hundreds. And this restaurant was formerly owned by one of her relatives. And so we knew the new owner. There was an Arab owner and a Jewish owner. It was the picture of mutual coexistence of Jews and Arabs dwelling together. And we discovered that relatives of my wife were killed in this restaurant. And that night, the night of the explosion, my wife went to the house. And there was not a dry eye in the place. And by the front door, there were lined up suitcases. Because the man who died, this happened on a Saturday. On Sunday morning, he was flying to New Jersey. He was the best man in a wedding of a relative who lives in New Jersey across by the George Washington Bridge. And he was going to be traveling the next day. But somebody called him up and said, hey, Wissam, could you come? I can't work today. Why don't you come in? And okay, I'll make a little extra money. Little did he know that a Muslim woman was going to be entering into that restaurant. The man who waited on this woman stepped into the bathroom. And while he was in the facilities, the bomb exploded. Later, he gave a report to the news and said this. This woman came and we sat her down, but she said, no, I want to sit there. And they took her and they let her sit. And where was it that she chose to sit? Next to a Jewish family with little children. This man told the story to the news media. This woman entered into the restaurant pretending to be pregnant. In Israel, whenever you walk into a restaurant, into the mall, they stand there with a, if I could call it a wand. It picks up and detects chemical explosives. But when a woman is pregnant, they don't use this wand. And they allowed this Muslim woman to enter in, not knowing that she was going to become a suicide bomber. The next day, one of the Islamic clerics in Egypt gave a fatwa, which means a Muslim proclamation, that it is acceptable for women to become suicide bombers. 75% of the Arabs in the Middle East believe it is acceptable to be a suicide bomber. And when a suicide bomber commits his act on Palestinian television, the family comes proudly proclaiming, my son did this. My daughter did this. Israel has only one hope in the Middle East. And that hope is this, that they would turn to the living God. But Israel is desperate. They are desperate for peace. They long for peace. Israel in 1967, when they took Jerusalem and the West Bank and Gaza and defeated the Egyptians in the Sinai. Since that time, Israel has given up 91% of the land that they took during that war. 91%. And they're saying to the Arab world, when that war was over in 1967, they said, look, take it all back. We don't want it. Just do one thing. Recognize the state of Israel and allow us to live together in peace. And the Arab world said, we will not do it. It was only in 1964, 3 years before the Israelis occupied what is known as the West Bank. In 1964, the PLO organization came into existence. Now, what does that mean? Today, the offspring of the PLO, the leader of the Palestinian Authority by a man by the name of Abbas. Abbas, they're out trying to get the West Bank back. But his organization was birthed before the West Bank was even taken, because the emblem on their insignia is the whole of Palestine, and they have the symbol of guns and weapons to take not just the West Bank, but all of this territory. For what purpose? So that the name of Israel will be remembered no more. Because the God of Islam is totally different from the God of Israel. And this spiritual warfare is growing stronger and stronger all the time. God judged Israel years ago when he scattered them. But God has a great plan and purpose for the future. And it tells us in the book of Isaiah in the 11th chapter, in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 10 and 12. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the peoples, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his standard again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left. Jumping down to verse 12, he will set up a banner for the nations, and he will assemble the outcast of Israel from the four corners of the earth. A banner. This is a sign. When a sporting team wins the championship, they usually get out the flag and they wave the banner. The national anthem of this great country, the Star Spangled Banner, came about through the time of a great victory. And here in this verse, it's saying that a banner will be established for the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, so that people will be drawn to him. There will be a banner that everyone will see and they will notice. But in this very same passage, there is a banner for the nations to say, I am bringing the Jewish people back. This is a great sign for the end times. And you know what? Satan knows this. Satan knows this. And we may think, well, the nation of Israel is already back. But you know what the reality is? Most Jewish people today live outside the land of Israel. They live in the diaspora. It's estimated that there may be 12 to 15 million Jewish people in the world, and less than 6 million live in Israel. And so you know what? It says, as time is moving quickly here, write it in your notes, Jeremiah chapter 16. God, who wants to bring the Jewish people back, says this, I will send fishers and hunters to bring them back. There are those who interpret that passage like this. Yeah, they're trying to make Israel an attractive place to live. Come, all you Jewish people, come on home. But you know what? Most don't want to leave. Who wants to leave New York? Who wants to leave Florida, Chicago, California? But God says this, I will regather you. This event will take place because there is a plan of the enemy to destroy the Jewish people. And he's going to use Islam, and Islam's Psalm 83 talks about this confederacy. Who is Ishmael lining up with? Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog. We believe on Mount Carmel that the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, Russia, is the fulfillment of this prophetic prophecy. And the Word of God tells us that the day will come when a war will take place between the nation of Israel and Gog and Magog. And what is this war all about? It's about the glorification of the name of God. Because God says, I will defeat you on the holy mountains of Israel. Just this past week was the great day of Yom Kippur on Thursday, Wednesday and Thursday. What did Russia do? Russia brought in a fleet of Soviet naval vessels. And as they entered into the Mediterranean, they had a port of call in the nation of Libya. From there, they sailed to Syria. And the reason why some people believe that these ships, about six or seven altogether, were coming into the Mediterranean is because they're sending a clear message to Israel. Don't mess with Iran. Because in Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38:39, Russia, Libya, Persia, which is Iran, they are aligned together in this strategic confederacy to bring destruction against the nation of Israel. One of those ships was carrying nuclear capabilities. The ship had nuclear weapons on board. And they are saying to Israel, if you strike Iran, we will counterattack. Things are heating up in the Middle East. It was just this past summer when the Russian military came in to a place called Georgia. It happened at the start of the Olympics, hopefully that none of the world media would really notice. You know what has happened? The mask of Russia is being removed. George Bush hanging out with Putin down in the ranch in Texas. Astronauts in space linking up together in satellite ships and shaking hands for the world to see. It's a deception. Russia is an aggressive nation that wants to dominate the world, that wants to take control of the world's resources. The reason why they went into Georgia is because there is a pipeline that goes through one of the territories and through Georgia, and a lot of this oil is being sent to Europe and also to Israel. And Russia wants to take control of that oil. Recently, they threatened the world nations by saying, you know what, we're going to send troops up to the North Pole because we're going to take control of the resources on the North Pole. There are oil deposits and valuable minerals up on the North Pole that the Russians are saying, we're going to seize it. When NATO made a peace plan in lodging NATO troops, and they wanted to bring missiles, defensive missiles, into Poland. Russia said, if you bring those missiles into Poland and you strengthen Poland as a NATO ally, we will go to war. This is an aggressive country. I praise God for the wonderful friends I have of Russian and Ukrainian background, but they tell me, beware, because the culture and the people, they love a dictator. They want the old Tsar regime. They want the old communist way because it makes the nation strong and the people proud. And one day, they're going to come up against the nation of Israel and they're going to be defeated. For what purpose? For the glory of God. This strategic alliance is allowing the Soviet Union to filter weapons in through Iran, through Syria, into Lebanon, through the Sinai of Egypt, into Gaza. Maybe some of you have heard the word Katusha, Katusha rockets, or the Qassam rockets. These rockets are Russian made. During the Lebanese war, it is estimated that 4,000 missiles were fired into the northern Galilee. And you know what happened? 1 million Israelis fled in panic. And since that war, Hezbollah has replenished its supplies. They are armed to the teeth. In 2005, when the Israelis, hoping to make peace, hoping to appease Islam, hoping to appease the Arabs, land for peace, land for peace. This is the mantra. When they left Gaza, they asked one request. We want to guard the border between Egypt and Gaza so no weapons filter in. And there's no way. No way. We want total sovereignty. We will not allow you to do that. Israel compromises. Okay, take it. And because there is no defense on these borders, weapons are being smuggled in to Gaza in the southern part of that nation, just waiting for the moment to terrorize the nation. It is believed, according to NATO military leadership, that it might be too late. It might be too late for the Western world to stop Iran from acquiring nuclear capabilities. But if there is one thing the Israelis agree, and believe me, they don't agree on many things. It is a divided house. But there is one thing that everyone believes, and that is this. We cannot allow to live in this neighborhood with Iran possessing nuclear technology. Because if Iran has nuclear technology, we will be in trouble. We are living in increasingly dangerous times. And the Soviet Union, Russia, is behind it all. Supplying the technology, supplying the know-how, supplying the equipment. Not only that, they're going outside their own hemisphere into the West. They are stockpiling weapons in Venezuela. Since 2004, Hugo Chavez down in Venezuela in South America has bought over $5.5 billion worth of Soviet equipment. He's not doing that to protect his border from Colombia and Brazil. He has ambitions to go against the hated enemy of the United States. In fact, on a recent visit, Hugo Chavez meeting with Putin and the new president, Dmitry, they are considering signing a nuclear agreement so that Venezuela can go nuclear. We are living in dangerous times. The Israelis are preparing to make a strike against Iran. They will not allow this to happen. And I can say, praise the Lord, at this time there is an administration in the White House that is helping to support Israel in limited ways. Recently, the Israelis requested and received from the United States about 1,000 missiles that are known as or called bunker buster missiles. And these missiles are able to penetrate the hard-encased shells of wherever the Iranian facilities, nuclear facilities, are located. Recently, the Israelis are the only foreign country to have received from the United States 25 F-35s. They are the latest, most advanced weapons in U.S. aircraft beyond the F-15, the F-22. This thing has what they call stealth technology that is able to evade the radars of Iran. And it's believed that the Israelis are preparing to strike somewhere, rumors of wars. They're preparing to strike sometime after the U.S. elections. If the United States maybe doesn't put pressure on Israel not to do it, and if Israel does it, the nations of the world are going to be in a rage. This will bring catastrophic chaos to all the nations of the world, because there in the Persian Gulf, where almost 50% of the world's oil flows out of, the nation of Iran sits there in a very narrow passage called the Straits of Hormuz, and they will stop the flow of oil to the world. And you go to googles.com, and you do a search, and you find out in history how often the Jews are blamed for this or that. And when this happens, if and when it happens, Israel will be blamed, anti-Semitism will increase, persecutions will arise, and I believe Jeremiah 16, the fishers and the hunters, there will be such a demonic attack toward the Jewish people. There will be great persecution that many of them will be forced to flee, because God has a plan. I, who have scattered you, will regather you. It's interesting to note that the word gather in Hebrew has, in a sense, a double meaning. And one of the meanings of the word is this: evacuation. Evacuation. If we have an understanding of history, the Jewish people today are called the wandering Jews. But they've come in this nation, and for generations they've been here living successful, prosperous lives. But both the word of God and the demonic attack of the enemy will cause them once again to flee from this nation, because God is bringing them back. and he's going to bring them back, and he's going to have an encounter with the Jewish people. And when all this is taking place in Psalm 83, the Word of God tells us this, that when Israel defeats Gog and Magog and this confederacy, and great shame comes upon this confederacy, which we believe is Russia and Islam, what will happen? There will be the end result, the seeking of God. They will begin to seek after God. Read it in Psalm 83. There will be a seeking after the things of God. In Psalm 126, the Word of God tells us this, that God, it will be said of the Lord, that he has done marvelous things. He has done great things for this nation. And it's for what purpose? According to Ezekiel 36, I'm doing all this for the glory of my holy name. I'm doing this for the glory of my holy name. God's name will be lifted up, and every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. We've never seen an evacuation of Jewish people from the land. It's going to happen. How soon, how quickly, how many years, I don't know. But before the return of the Lord Jesus, you will see this event come to take place. You will see the defeat of Islam and the Soviet Union, and there will be a revival in the Islamic world. 1 billion captives, 1 billion Muslims will be set free from the demonic powers of Islam. We live in fantastic days. But turn with me in closing to the book of Daniel. Daniel heard these words when he read in the book of Jeremiah. When he read from the book of Jeremiah, Daniel in the great chapter, in chapter 9. And I, Daniel, I understood from the book of Numbers the years specified by the word of the Lord through the prophet and the things that he would accomplish. And then I set my face toward the Lord to make request in prayer and in supplication, in fasting and confession. Brothers and sisters, when Daniel heard the prophetic word, he set his face to seek the Lord. We're living in prophetic times. The war in heaven has come down. There is an attack against the nation of Israel. There is attack against the poor Arab people. They're caught up in this. They're in slavery to Islam. And this attack will come to the shores of this nation. As a remnant in this land, we need to follow in the footsteps of the great prophet Daniel and begin to seek the face of the Lord. Let us bow our heads before the Lord right now. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord God. Lord God, we know that perilous times are coming. There is a time of Jacob's trouble coming upon the nations of the earth. And Lord, these tragic events, these cataclysmic events, Lord, Father, in the spirit realm, the enemy knows his time is running short. And just like he was slaughtering the babies in the time of the birth of Moses because a deliverer was being raised up. And just like he was trying to destroy the babes in Bethlehem when the great Messiah was coming to birth. And Lord, just as the Holocaust in World War II arose on the horizon at the regathering of the nation of Israel, Lord, in the fulfillment of your prophetic word, there will be a demonic attack, oh Lord God, that will require require a people who will have a wisdom to know what we ought to do. And what you are calling us to do is to be men and women of prayer. Hallelujah. If you believe that we are living in those times and those days, and you want to take a moment here at the altar of God, if you want to spend time with the Father and talk to Him, let's come forward and spend a moment before we go off. Let's spend a little bit of time to say, God, prepare me. God, I've never heard of the expulsion of the Jewish people. I've never heard of the destruction of Gog and Magog. I've never heard about a great revival and a seeking in the Islamic world. Lord, now is the time, O Lord God, that we would prepare ourselves for these events. Hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, you who have scattered Israel, you're going to raise a banner. You're going to raise a banner for the nations to see. Glorious events, O Lord God. And you've caused us to know these things, O Lord God. What a great privilege. What a great privilege, O Lord God, to be your friends, O Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. We praise you. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake. And I will sanctify my great name, and the nations shall know, they will know that I am the Lord. Father, we thank you that you have a purpose, that you have a mighty purpose in this great event, O Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God, when there will be an ingathering of Israel, Lord, their acceptance will be a life from the dead, O Lord God, and the nations will know that you are Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Even as Spurgeon had this great faith to believe, that he had a great faith to believe that the day will come. Give us this faith, O Lord God, that your great name will be sanctified through these events. Hallelujah. And when you bring back the captivity of Zion, we're like those who dream that our mouths were filled and our tongues with singing. And then they shall say amongst the nations, the Lord has done great things. The Lord has done great things. Brothers and sisters, together, let's believe. Let's believe that God is doing great things. The same God who sat on the throne in the midst of the flood, He's on the throne today. Fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Hallelujah. I am with you. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God is doing these events. They're under control. Hallelujah. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow. When you walk through the fires, you shall not be burned, nor will the flames strike you. For I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. Fear not, for I will bring the descendants from the east, and I will gather them from the west, and I will say to the north, let them go and bring them from afar. For the sake of his holy name, he who scattered Israel will regather them. Thank you, Lord God, for opening our eyes today to see the foolish plan of the enemy and that it will come to naught. God's plan and God's purpose will be fulfilled. Hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you. Lord, you are building Zion. The set time has come. and you will establish your glory in Zion. You'll establish your glory. Lord, let that glory fall in this house. Let the glory of God fall here on Mount Zion. That this will be a people who will hide the truth of God's word in their hearts and know that the Lord is sovereign. Hallelujah, Father, we thank you. You've given us the Spirit that cries out, Abba, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Send us forth in the power of your great name. Lord, even as the cloud of glory sat upon Zion this day, Lord, let your holy name rest upon us. Find a resting place in our heart for your name, O Lord God, that we would bring hope to the nations, that we would be used, O Lord God, to build up the remnant, that we would be used to set captives free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus. And for this reason, we bow our knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in our inner beings, that the Messiah may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we may be rooted and grounded in love. Father, at such a time as this, we ask for strength in our inner being, that the Messiah would dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we would be grounded in your precious love. Thank you, Father, that you are preparing us. This day will not catch us unaware. For Lord, we will watch and we will pray, and you will strengthen us as we stand together in the watchtower. Hallelujah. Lord, we look up. We look up, O Lord God. This was your promise, your word to us. Look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. We fear not, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, there's going to be a shaking. But we stand on a sure foundation. We stand on a solid rock. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.